Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendos, and Larson, welcome back to News Brief. Steve, he's under the weather. And then rather than have him come in here and potentially infect me with whatever is ailing him, he's convalescing at home. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. If not, at least be feeling well enough that we'll try to do this remotely, telecommunication and stuff. Sorry, can't talk. Anyways, a lot of crazy stuff going inside Titan Towers these days. We talked end of Thursday about how WB let go co-presidents George Berrios and Michelle Wilson. In a bit of a shocking move, the Wall Street's response to these firings, terminations, releases, whatever you want to call it, was swift, and pretty much the WB stock price went straight into the toilet. So Tom Callahoo, over at Sportskeeda is reporting that, quote, These releases were made due to lack of a big picture thinking present in the two, those two being Berrios and Wilson. Tom continues, this is according to sources who have worked close to both. Reports from inside the WB head office explain that while this did not come out of nowhere, there was a number of negative encounters between Vince McMahon and his co-presidents in the buildup. He continues, quote, the upcoming financial reports are not expected to be as negative as believed, though there are reports of NXT's move to USA being made with no additional TV deal for the company. And then in conclusion says, quote, WWE management are said to be very aware of the impact of their decision on the stock market, and adding, Callahoo did on Twitter, adding that a source told him, quote, they're scrambling. There is no plan when it happened. We can all see the drop. Now, when this news came down that members of the upper management were somewhat surprisingly let go with no rumblings of any sort of discord or issues in the upper management of WB. And then you hear that they got a reports call coming up on Thursday, I believe. My first thought was, these financials are going to be real bad. And they're kind of cutting that off at the pass by letting the two of them go. And hoping they can kind of change the narrative, as if to say, and I guess Callahoo's report saying that that both Berrios and Wilson, at least in Vince's eyes, were guilty of lacking big picture thinking. So that when the numbers come out and they're hot garbage, then Vince can point and saying, well, that was the old regime, if you will. We're looking to get some fresh blood in here to come up with some new ideas. But at the same time, like, they're swimming in money from two massive TV deals. They're making a ton of money from the Saudi Arabia arrangement. And even if, like, the house show business is completely in the garbage, I don't know how bad it could really, I don't know. Like, from the purely financial perspective, it should be okay. But maybe all the ancillary criteria outside the main column of all the big money they're making is just not looking good. So while they're making tons of money, it could be a situation where the perception is the company's popularity is waning, and they're not appealing to that prized 18 to 49 demographic anymore, because if you look at the TV demos, like their audience skews way older than AEW does. Over on at Bloomberg on Friday, they reported this, hence the title of this video. WWE stock continued to plummet all through Thursday and into early Friday, and still going down, with the drop so precipitous that Bloomberg reported that, quote, World Wrestling Entertainment Inc. plunged as much as 28% on Friday, erasing more than $1 billion in market value after chief executive officer of Vince McMahon ousted two of the company's top executives. They lost $1 billion in one day, and if Tom Colohue's report is to be believed, there is no plan as far as what to do once they let Berrios and Wilson go. Yet they are aware of the impact their decision will make on the stock market. It seems like typical Vince thinking, where it's like, okay, I know it's going to happen. I have no plan as far as how to deal with what's going to happen. I'm just going to do it anyways. He even short-term books his own business. So, yeah, I mean, I right now their stock is at $46.08. It's down almost $3 from the opening of trading today. Yeah, so if you're, granted, I'm no financial consultant, no expert in the stock market. That being said, if I had the means after Thursday when that financial report comes out, woo, oh man, I'd pony up and get some shares, especially if the financials are bad. Yeah, that's going to be a value. That being said, don't take my financial advice. I don't know what I'm talking about. Just seems like it'd be a good deal to me personally, but don't take that as any sort of good financial advice, all right? That's not my area of expertise. Anyways, moving on. Could make some quick money, though. Anyways, this is interesting. So apparently, NXT is telling their talents not to do all sorts of stuff. So last week, you talked about how there's apparently some sort of meeting where NXT talents were told by someone there, hey, you know, I don't know if it was explicitly stated in reference to the Matt Riddle, Brock Lesnar situation, but more or less they were told, don't mention main roster superstars in your social media posts, like unless they're cool with it, essentially. Well, following that meeting, which of course, contents of which were leaked, there was apparently another meeting at the Performance Center, according to Fightful, where the talents there were told to, quote, not talk the dirt sheets. And then also, quote, one source previously unfamiliar to Fightful and NXT said, they reminded me that I'm a contractor, then tried to tell me who I couldn't talk to, so here I am, before reiterating issues with crowding, at the PC. Yeah, I don't know why, I understand they want to keep things under wraps, but just by telling people not to talk, they're probably going to talk. I mean, it's based on my experience, generally what happens. Apparently, also at this meeting, they were telling the wrestlers there, you're an independent contractor, so make sure you have health insurance. And then I guess that rubbed people the wrong way. That was kind of the gist I got from Fightful's report. I understand what WWE want to kind of keep a tight lip on the inner workings and news within their own promotion. That being said, people, especially when they're frustrated for a variety of reasons, whether it be apparently NXT with overcrowding at the PC, you know, and with that comes fewer opportunities for people. People sign on with WWE, especially NXT, because it's a hot thing, thinking they're going to get opportunity and being stuck on the Florida house show loop for years and never being on TV. And then, of course, that problem is only vaster on the main roster, where the roster is huge, stacked with amazing talent, and there's only so many spots for people on the weekly television broadcast. So as we're hearing with the Revival late last week, they apparently turned down huge contracts, upwards of $700,000 a year each, and are apparently just ready to move on because I guess they're just tired of being within the larger WWE machine, where it seems to be pretty easy for someone who's immensely talented to kind of get lost in the shuffle. So it means to be seen what comes of all that. As far as a Raw preview, it's only one I've announced thus far, and that's Randy Orton set to explain why he attacked Edge last week. And the reason for that, while there's only one entry on the Raw preview, that kind of seemed like Raw might have been in doubt today because apparently there's a massive snowstorm going through Utah. Raw's emanating from Salt Lake City tonight, and I think they were expecting about 12 inches of snow, and the governor thought it might get so bad they'd have to start closing some roads. And of course, if you're closing roads and you're expecting a huge entertainment event to happen somewhere in the city, it's hard for people to go to attend said event. However, the venue for tonight, was it the Vivint Center? Vivint Arena? Home of tonight's Raw. Stated on social media, the show will happen despite the heavy snowfall. So even in the with the potential blizzard at hand, the show will go on. Raw will happen tonight. There was some rumblings of maybe limited roster members in attendance. No update on that. Ricochet and Montez Ford were posting some videos on Twitter in the snow. I'm assuming they're in Salt Lake. So I would expect them to be there at the least. But as far as the crowd, the turnout, who knows? Who knows? Who knows who might be there? If it's going to be a half-empty arena, remains to be seen. It'd be kind of fun if it was an empty arena. They had every match happen backstage, all backstage brawls. Force their hand to be a little creative. That could be good. All right, time to answer some questions. Let me go on the Twitter machine here and get some questions posted from the fine friendos out there. If I can pull up, I should have had this ready to begin with. Things move much differently when Steve's not here. When it's just a one-man operation. Here we go. First question from Ryan Luckman. If WWE is in Kansas City in the near future, does Baron get a face pop for being a Chiefs fan and them winning a Super Bowl? Baron has a way of getting heat on himself. I don't know if he can find a pivot point where he can cheer for the Chiefs or be a Chiefs fan and yet insult the audience. I'm sure there's a way. It escapes me right now. Joshua Martinez, if the snowstorm is going on, should they cancel the show altogether or air a rerun, maybe a free old pay-per-view, or should they hold all matches as empty arena? For example, whatever wrestlers show up and make a show of it. Like I said earlier at the conclusion of News Brief, I think it'd be awesome if they just did everything backstage, having matches, backstage brawls, matches backstage. You can do like one or two empty arena matches. But I think having a lot of fighting backstage might be kind of fun. Jonathan here says, Baron should shoot, say Kansas City is in Kansas. That would be a way to upset people. Yeah. Juan Guerrero Jr., Mr. Triple Mania. Larson, if you had to choose, whose side would you be on in the Larson dream match of Minoru Suzuki versus Dr. Wagner Jr.? As much as I love Dr. Wagner Jr., Minoru Suzuki is the greatest combat athlete ever. Yeah, one of my 10 favorite wrestlers of all time. I would be team Minoru Suzuki all the way. All the way. Oh, man, I don't think I didn't mention in News Brief. How about that Orange Cassidy Minoru Suzuki match at Janela Spring Break Mania Weekend? Wow. That's going to be awesome. That is going to be awesome. General Ziffer, what do you think about the rumor going around that Charlotte will use her Royal Rumble win to challenge Rousey at Mania? I would rather her challenge Rhea personally. I mean, if they want to get some more star power in the Mania card, then Rousey would make a ton of sense. I guess when Charlotte did her promo on SmackDown last week, she called herself the queen of all brands, so that's how I suppose you can motivate her challenging Rhea while NXT champion. And Charlotte challenging Rhea does elevate NXT. It just all depends on from Charlotte's perspective, what her motivation is. If it makes sense, then I'm all for it. But then again, if they want Charlotte to Charlotte challenge Ronda to get, you know, a high profile star on the card, considering it doesn't look like Tyson Fury is going to be on it. Same with Cain Velasquez. If they want, you know, a former MMA athlete or someone who's got more mainstream appeal than anybody they've managed to build on their own roster, then I would understand why they might make that move. Anthony Tobias is sick or hungover. I don't know. I think I'll take Steve at his word that he is actually sick. I don't know what he was drinking last night during the game. G-Sith says, damn you, most stuffed Oreos. He had one. He's sick. I didn't have one. I feel fine. you know, you can make the connection how you want to. Alex Foster booked Kona Reeves' first feud on SmackDown. Bonus points if he somehow wins. So he's called up to SmackDown. I feel like Sami Zayn's going to have to be involved in some capacity. Something like, hey, you call yourself the finest. However, you're looking at artists up here. You're not the finest. Nakamura's the finest. Cesaro's the finest. And then, of course, Cesaro goes down the ring. And then Kona Reeves gets some sort of fluke roll-up win. It seems like all Cesaro does now is eat losses.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Fear and Loathing, your reaction if Steve isn't sick and is on his way to debut on the Raw commentary team? Well, I'd wish him safe travels because... apparently, there's a blizzard going on in Salt Lake City right now. I mean, if he was on the Rock commentary team, that'd be cool. Good for him. Just be a lot more of this. Mr. Sinister, what can be Bray's other weaknesses besides his mask? I think making his lamp kind of how the urn was to The Undertaker. If it's not his mask, it's got to be pulling down his pants. And if it's not either of those things, then it's got to be... I don't know, I feel like his past... because he references it so much, especially in the early episodes of Firefly Funhouse, pretty much with every feud he's been in subsequently, he's mentioned his past with all his previous opponents. And I think if you can somehow find to drive a wedge between... you know, because he says he's overcome the issues of his past to a certain degree. And if you can drive that wedge using his past between Firefly Bray and Fiend Bray, maybe there's something to exploit there. I don't know. It's probably just his mask. And if that's all it is, that's going to be kind of disappointing. Greg Morris, is there anyone on the roster they can get a main title a la Jinder? It doesn't even need to be that long of a reign. You mean just kind of a surprising world champion that no one would expect to ever win that title? Mojo Rawley. I think Mojo is good on the mic. He knows how to talk. He's so-so in the ring. You pair him up with Gronk on TV because Gronk will bring eyeballs to the product. And then they find a way to get themselves in the world title scene. Gronk helps Mojo win the title. They go out and party all night. That's the story. And like the next day, he comes into work, and he's hungover, and someone issues a challenge for the title. And he's like, "All right, fine, I guess I got to do it." And every one of his matches is hungover Mojo trying to find a means to win despite being hungover, and he always sneaks out a win. And he goes and parties some more. Jack Nesmith, which current WWE or NXT wrestlers do you believe will have a huge push post WrestleMania? I hope Mustafa Ali. I'm really bummed out they didn't come back around to giving him any sort of push once he returned from injury. Dude's got all the talent in the world. His story is great. Now, do I believe he's gonna get a push? I haven't really seen any indication that's gonna be the case. However, it would be cool if it happened. Joe Nathan here and says in chat, Velveteen Dream. I would not be surprised if Velveteen Dream gets a massive push whenever he comes back from injury. We still really haven't heard anything about when he might be returning. If it's a back injury, you know, that can, those kind of injuries can be notoriously kind of open-ended in terms of time away. So who knows? Adrian C. says, Io Shirai. I hope so. I hope so. Sorry. Dalton, what wrestlers are the best at reinventing themselves? First and foremost, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho has to top any list as far as wrestlers who have successfully and continuously found ways to reinvent themselves, keep themselves fresh, do new things, add dimension to their character continuously. After that, I feel like on match I just mentioned somebody who was really good at keeping their character fresh, and now I don't remember. I feel like far and away, though, is Chris Jericho. And I don't really know there's anybody even that close. I mean, like, The Rock was always really good at whatever role you put him in. But it was just either he was good guy Rock or bad guy Rock. There wasn't a whole lot of real change. You know, like when Jericho was doing the Anton Chigurh stuff during his feud with Shawn Michaels, like, he completely changed the way he talked. So Ricky Scurvy here in chat mentions Undertaker. That's a good pick. Although he only really did Dead Man, Undertaker, American Badass, and then came back as kind of an amalgam of the two. Kind of. That being said, he did it all pretty well. Church Jackson, what's the more underrated stipulation? Hair versus hair? Or I've never heard of the second stipulation, so I'll say hair versus hair. A-Train, nice try, Wainmaker. Chico, El Luchador's number one fan. What do you want to see Bray Wyatt do for his WrestleMania entrance? He should fly in on a giant Mercy of the Buzzard. I think that'd be pretty cool. Yeah, that'd be pretty neat. Bray's pretty good at reinventing himself. I know we've already seen more or less two iterations of it, but he's pretty good. Ricky Scurvy says Damian Sandow. That's a good answer. He's been constantly adapting. He's not afraid to try new things. Blake Elizondo, what will Randy's excuse for attacking Edge be? I don't recall their feud, how that concluded in Edge's first run. But he could say there's some unfinished business there. Maybe something along the lines of, hey, you've been gone for a decade. Why do you think you belong here anymore? This industry has evolved past you, Edge. I don't know. They'll find a way. I'm curious to see what it will be. Hopefully it'll be something interesting. Dan Bearded Nerd, do you think the decision to not to have the red lights during the Fiend match at Rumble because of being in a stadium instead of an arena? I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point. If they do, they ditch the lights because it might have been difficult to do in a baseball stadium. That being said, if they just use, I don't know what kind of, I didn't really pay attention to the light truss structure they had above the ring, and whether how it would have been possible just to concentrate on those lights down the ring and then it's like, you know, more or less kill the house lights. I don't know. But that's a good point. That might have been had something to do with it. Alex Payne, what is one match that got you into wrestling? Alex says Undertaker versus Batista at WrestleMania 23. He was there live. That's cool. I can't really remember. Like, the first match I remember watching, and I don't even know if this match even happened. But in my mind, it's the first match I ever saw. It was on USA Network, I want to say on a Saturday morning or early afternoon, flipping through the channels, and it was British Bulldogs against Killer Bees. Probably sometime in 1985 or 1986. Again, I don't know if this match ever happened, and if it did, if it ever aired on USA Network. But in my mind, that's what it was. And that's the match that got me hooked on wrestling, because I watched the rest of the episode of whatever was on the local video store. They had WrestleMania 1, and so I would rent that all the time and watch it all the time. So, I mean, I've had to say one match. It's probably the tag match, the main event of WrestleMania 1, which is not a good match, But it's the match that got me into, that probably hooked me on wrestling. Michael Clausen, is the anti-hero superior to a babyface? Examples being Austin or Daniel Bryan. And if so, why? It depends. I don't think it's so much the archetype that's the important part. It's how that particular character resonates with the audience. It's like Stone Cold. That character just captured the zeitgeist at a very of the Attitude Era more so than anybody else. He made a massive connection with the audience, and that's why it worked. Same with Daniel Bryan. I think far too often we have all these generic smiling baby faces who don't really seem to have much going on beyond just being, hey, I'm good guy. Kind of like what they tried to do with Roman initially. And now they're just letting him be him. And he's way more interesting than he ever was when Vince was writing his promos. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily so much, are they an anti-hero? Are they a traditional hero? I don't think that matters so much because if I sit and think about it, I could probably think of some anti-hero type characters that didn't connect. And it's probably because there wasn't a whole lot going on. Wayne Maker, Larson, what was your personal highlight of WCW match or angle? For me, it was when DDP won the title. I was a huge DDP fan. When he won the title, that was huge. I marked out huge when DDP won that belt. Rob Zerver says, WWE and NXT don't make baby faces anymore, only badasses. Well, they do. They try to make... Like Bob Roode, when he got called up, he was smiling babyface. That was his character. He was a glorious, smiling babyface. There was nothing more going on beyond smiling, glorious babyface with Bob Roode. And like they didn't even try to really make him a badass either. He was just like, hey, I'm good guy. Listen to my song. Burning Waffles. Which matches would you have if WWE wanted to have a TakeOver-sized card for WrestleMania? So 5 matches. And if we're using TakeOver as the benchmark, then we got to more or less book the 5 best matches we can at WrestleMania. So the best wrestler of the main roster. Let's see. It's Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. I mean, Nakamura could be up there. Sami Zayn could be up there. Then give me Daniel Bryan versus Nakamura. That's one. Oh, Owens, thank you, Adrian C. Give me Owens and Zayn. I know we've seen that a bunch, but we haven't seen them. They're actually trying to put on like a PWG or Ring of Honor style match where they're doing brainbusters on turnbuckles and stuff, which they might be able to do. If they're given an opportunity to do a takeover type match, you might actually see a package pile driver if that were the case. That's two. Probably a tag match. So maybe Revival versus... Give me Revival versus Viking Raiders. Andrade, that's a good one. Andrade versus Aleister Black. I know we saw that in NXT a couple times, but still. That'd be really good. And Cesaro... Give us like... Do Cesaro and Seth Rollins in like a half-hour Iron Man match. I don't know if they still do. I'm guessing not since Seth and Becky got engaged, but they used to ride together. I'm sure they've wrestled together in the past, but I doubt they've really been given an opportunity to put on like a match that they probably, of the quality they really can. So I think that'd be pretty cool. That's all the questions we got, really? Seemingly so. All right, then. I guess I'll turn to chat then if anybody in chat here's got any questions before we wrap up mailbag for the day. Oh, Samoa Joe, that's another good choice too. There's so many great wrestlers in WWE's roster. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless. It's just who would be given the opportunity to showcase the full breadth of their skills. Adrian C. asked if Oney Lorcan quit. He just signed a new deal, I think. Didn't he have the picture with Triple H when he re-signed? Oh, good question, F-Pop. What match got you into indie wrestling? His was Roderick Strong versus Nigel McGuinness for the Pure title. It was probably... Steve and I went to a show here in Sacramento before we moved to LA. So we're talking late 90s. And the main event had Abdullah the Butcher in it. I don't remember who he was wrestling. Oh, I do. It was the Sultan, but it wasn't Rikishi as the Sultan. It was somebody else. But it was the same outfit that Rikishi had when he was the Sultan. Earlier on that card, I don't remember whose opponent was, but there was a guy whose nickname was the Gigolo. He'd eventually show up in XPW, and he was involved in that incident where Supreme got set on fire. But his character work in that match was so good. And of course, we were sitting like second row or something like that. That I was like, okay, this is the fun of going to independent shows. Is you get to interact with the wrestlers. You get to be more a part of the show than you would sitting, you know, 25 rows up at an arena show for WWE. And so I was like, okay, this is the fun of going to independent shows. Is a lot more interaction. You're a lot more involved in what's going on. It was really a blast. And so, you know, we've been to countless independent shows since then, but that's one I'll always remember. I'm not even sure that's the first indie show we went to, but it's the one that really sticks out in my mind more than any. Wayne Maker, book a New Japan Invasion angle of NXT, four matches, Ospreay, Okada, Zack Sabre Jr., and Naito. Well, you want to get Sabre versus Johnny Wrestling versus Gargano. You guessed you'd want Naito versus Adam Cole, so you're going to have champion versus champion. Okada versus Ciampa, since they're kind of the cornerstones, if you will. And then... although Finn Okada would be really good. As far as Ospreay... Ospreay. I'm drawing a blank on someone who can match Ospreay's speed. Let me look on the roster page real quick and see if anybody pops out. Angel Garza. Swerve would be good. Oh, Keith Lee needs to have a match. Give me Keith Lee versus Okada. And then Ciampa versus, oh man, Pete Dunne versus Ospreay. That'd be great. There you go. That's what it is. Jimmy Thomas, honest thoughts on the halftime show. I actually didn't watch any of it. I was out playing basketball during the halftime show. So I didn't. I came in right as Shakira was finishing up. Matt Riddle versus Ospreay would be great too. Matt Riddle versus Okada would be outstanding. The depth of talent in NXT is insane. Just about anybody putting the ring against anybody from New Japan is going to be great. Actually, for Finn, give me Finn versus Taguchi since they have history. F-Pop says, I sat front row for over a year at CZW. You can see me in the wrestler. Really, that's interesting. I didn't know that's where they shot stuff for the wrestlers at CZW. Huh. The Wrestler is such a great movie. Joshua Martinez, what gimmick match should AEW do after the cage match? I know Cody wanted to do some sort of War Games thing. Obviously, they can't get the trademark for that, so they can't actually use that name, because I know he's mentioned the match Beyond before, which I guess was like a nickname for War Games, so I think that'd be pretty neat if that's going to be the route they take. Adrian C. says Suzuki versus Walter. Yes, please. Or Okada versus Walter. That'd be awesome, too. Past, present, future dream opponents for Walter. F-Pop says his is... Takeshi Morishima. Uh, Stan Hansen. Give me Stan Hansen versus Walter. That'd be hard hitting. Or Vader. Vader versus Walter. Is Taguchi going after the U.S. title now? They can have Suzuki beat Mox for the U.S. title and have Suzuki feud with Taguchi? The triple cage match. Wasn't that World War III where they had the three rings and the three cages? WCW had. Sorry, Andy Jocelyn. Yes, you missed the news brief. Although, if you're listening to it on audio, you're not. You can go back. Listen to it. Anyways, wrap that up here. Patrons, stick around. We'll do an overrun. We'll chat then. Until next time, thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully, Raw recap. Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.